is Southside.
And time now on Southside for the May 2010 Book of the Month with, of course, Jill Appleton.
Hello there. This month we have chosen another author who will be attending the Middlesbrough Literary Festival, Mike Pannett, and the book is called You're Coming With Me, Lad. Mike Pannett was born in York and joined the Metropolitan Police in 1988. He became one of the youngest officers to be given his own patch and served on the Divisional Crime Squad, Murder Squad and the Riot Police. He transferred to North Yorkshire Police in 1997 as he missed the countryside, and he became a rural beat officer and eventually a wildlife officer. In 2005, he starred in the BBC's Country Cops and was inspired to write his first book, Now Then Lad, in 2008. The book we are reviewing is his second publication and continues his tales of life as a rural bobby.
I hope she's worth it.
Walt shook the raindrops off his tatty old gabardine raincoat and hung it up above the Rayburn. Hey, go easy, I said, as I rummaged through his box of boot brushes. Those are my best shoes you're splashing. Don't know that I'd go to all that trouble for a lass, he muttered. Here. He pulled out an old wooden-handled job and shoved it in my hand. This'll put a shine on him. Pure horsehair, that. If we were talking about any other lass, I might agree with you, I said, buffing away. But not this one. This one's special. Aye, so you said. And you know what that means. She'll have a queue of fellas after her. Women like that, they can pick and choose, you know. The thing is, Walt, you've never seen me in action. When I turn on the charm, they don't stand a chance. You wait. She won't know what's hit her. As I polished, I digested what I just said. I was getting carried away with myself, and I knew it. The fact was, I hadn't stopped thinking about Anne all over Christmas, and asking myself questions. I kept remembering what Chris Cox, the disc sergeant, had said. That she was out of my league. Was he right? Had she really wanted to come to the party with me, or was it a case of not knowing how to turn me down? Maybe she'd do what that lass in London did one time, call me and say she'd had a better offer. But then I remembered that goodnight kiss in Malton Marketplace. That answered a lot of questions, surely. Anyway, I said, looking Walt up and down, what are you wearing to the party? He had on a pair of baggy brown cords and a chunky off-white sweater, the kind I'd wear to go deep-sea fishing in. I see you've managed to find a matching pair of laces, at least. I pointed at his trusty black boots. That first time I'd met him, he'd had one brown and one red, as I recall. I've pushed the boat out for this do, he said, being as it's up at your mate's big house yonder. He lifted his sweater to reveal a broad black leather belt. Got it at Yates's, he said. And this? He patted a shiny steel buckle in the shop of a Harley Davidson. I got in Pickering. They have a shop there, specialises in them. And that's it. That's your New Year's party outfit. Why, it cost me a bloody fortune, did this lot? Aye, in about 1973. Anyway, just so long as you're not planning to make a grand entrance with me and Anne, you scruffy. No, I shall come along later. I've got to pick my brother up first, and t'other fella. His brother, Cyril, I'd met a few times. The other fella would be Ronnie, a retired RAF fitter who had a single topic of conversation, the life and times of an RAF fitter. The three of them would get together in the Jolly Farmers, or on a summer night they'd sit on an old wooden bench on the roadside outside Walt's house and sup beer while they watched the world go by. I called them the Three Wise Monkeys, among other things. Good company for half an hour or so, and not the sort of lads to miss out on one of Algie's parties where the beer flowed free.
This book consists of 14 chapters, each telling a different story of events Mike encountered on his North Yorkshire patch. These are true police stories and include tales of mad swordsmen, petty villains and even runaway caravans. One aspect that certainly comes through is the community spirit, and as you read through the book you will warm to some of the local characters and enjoy his descriptions of the breathtaking countryside of his local beat.
Bank holidays. Don't get me started. I hope I don't sound like a killjoy, but sometimes I wish they could be done away with. I really do. It's not as if people are short of leisure opportunities. It's not as if we're living in the 19th century when a trip to the seaside and a charabang was the highlight of a working man's year. I mean, we can get in the car and pop over to Scarborough or Whitby any time we like now. You can drive across after work on a summer evening, have a stroll on the beach, a fish and chips supper and a pleasant drive back across the moors and still be home in daylight. As for shopping, if that's what you really want, you can do it 7 days a week. And you can get away on a sunshine holiday any month of the year. The problem with doing anything on a bank holiday, as far as I'm concerned, is crowds. On the roads,
In town, at the seaside. I'd really rather be at work, getting double the usual rate of pay, and go to such places on my days off during the week when there's not as many folk around. Yes, you can have bank holidays. Even when I'm at work, I'm not crazy about them. From a policing point of view, they throw up too many surprises. Strange things happen. Unpleasant things. And God help us if it's a full moon as well, because that really can bring out the worst in people. I've sometimes thought that there's an awful lot of folk out there who are only really happy when they're at work. Perhaps I should say men rather than folk. I mean, what would I know about women? On a bad day, and bank holidays have given me some of my worst experiences as a serving officer, I'd be tempted to say that by the time a Monday comes round, there are quite a lot of men who would rather be back at work than stuck at home, given a straight choice. I've seen too much of the bad stuff that kicks off when people are cooped up in the house with folk they'd rather avoid, by which I mean their nearest and dearest. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a cynic. When a family functions as it's supposed to, you've got the perfect social unit. Loving, supportive, a safe haven from a cruel world. But when it falls apart, well, I'd rather deal with a good old-fashioned punch-up at throwing-out time than what we politely call a domestic.
This book covers all aspects of what a rural bobby encounters, which is not just crime, but unexpected flooding and missing people on the moors. Mike's gentle style of writing makes this a pleasant read, full of humour, excitement, some sadness, and even a touch of romance. If you're looking for an easy-going read, this book is well worth a peek. And don't forget to look out for Mike at Acklam Library on Wednesday the 14th of July at 6:30 p.m.
It's funny how you get to know people. I mean, really know who they are and what makes them tick. I have some friends I've known for years, but still don't know a great deal about them, beyond the things we have in common. People that I maybe see in the Jolly Farmers or play darts with, mates I go to watch York City with. There's one lot I meet up with every year and go fly fishing with in the Outer Hebrides, a group of people I was introduced to through an old contact from my time at Battersea Nick. We have a fantastic time up there, but we never really talk about where we come from and what else we do. They just seem to belong in that particular place, that part of my life. And when we're together, we mostly talk about the job in hand. We don't get into our personal histories, where we lived when we were kids, what our parents did and so on. But when Anne and I got together, we really wanted to know everything about each other. There was quite a bit to tell on both sides, except that we never really saw enough of each other, what with working shifts and having to keep our romance under wraps. So even after 8 or 9 months, each of us only had a sketchy sort of knowledge of where the other came from. I was chuffed to bits to find out how much we had in common, both growing up in the Vale of York and barely 3 miles apart, both serving in the Met, and at the same time both patrolling Battersea Bridge for several years, me on the south side of the river, her on the north. I still marvel that we never managed to meet up, but as she said one time, it was probably for the best. We each of us had our respective journeys to make. If we hadn't got all that growing up out of the way, we probably wouldn't have got along so well when the time came.
If an insurance company representative knocks at your door and tries to get you to accept a cheque following a motor accident, what should you do? Let's ask Charles Ather.
What you should do is be very suspicious. If they're offering payment before you've even made a claim, then I believe they must think your claim is worth far more. Whatever you do, don't sign away your rights.
So if you're approached in this way,
remember, you have a right to choose your own solicitor and get a proper assessment of your claim.
Call Middlesbrough 222-575 or text advice to 81400 now. Choose the one you know, Abba and Co.
When you're living with cancer, the good days really matter. The day you get some answers about your treatment, or about benefits, or whatever's on your mind. You can take the first step towards more good days by calling Macmillan Cancer Support. Call 0808 808 0000 or visit macmillan.org.uk.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and high quality care for residents, provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential elderly, EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 8188 or email us at info@rosevillecarecentre.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
I wanted to find out from a real solicitor what happens when you let your insurance company look after your car accident claim. So I spoke to Charles Atha of Atha & Co.
Insurance companies make money from selling your claim to their own legal people. If you want solicitors who you can speak to face to face, someone who worked to achieve the best possible offer of compensation, you're better off choosing someone you know.
Someone you know? That sounds familiar, Charles.
Choose the one you know.
Call 01642 222575 or text ADVICE to 81400 now.
Four, three, two, one. Serving the James Cook University Hospital, Middlesbrough and beyond. This is Southside.
And for our podcast listeners as well, of course, on the new Podbean site. This is, of course, the book of the month, of course, for our regular listeners in the James Cook University Hospital on Hospedia Channel 1, totally free of charge, just to remind you on that basis. You're listening to, as we said, the book of the month for May. Jill Appleton, another good choice. You're coming with me, lad. Tales of a Yorkshire Bobby. Wonderful overall line there. And of course, Mike, not only is he actually autographing books in Lincoln, in fact, in July, but before he actually does the whole thing, because yes, the branch in Lincoln that begins with a W and ends in an S.
Oh, yes.
it doesn't have an H in it, although it is actually owned by WH. But anyway, they are effectively having a big push now, saying that Mike Pennett is having a book signing of You're Coming With Me, Lad, Tales of a Yorkshire Bobby, which I thought was nice, being in that's in Lincolnshire. And of course, it's a Yorkshire thing. However, let us move on to our two fantastic co-presenters today for the Book of the Month. The regular genius that is, of course, Jill Prowse. How are you, Jill?
I'm fine, thank you.
And back again for what's becoming an annual trip to the Book of the Month scenario. Hopefully there'll be more as well from that point of view. Of course, our regular contributor from Legal Matters and so on, Charles Atha. How are you, Charles?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex.
Marvellous. Okay, well, we'll find out what you thought about the Book of the Month for May in a few moments. But Jill, over to you.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I think it's what it is. It's no sort of great literacy masterpiece. But if you want an enjoyable read, when you don't have to think too hard and you can just lose yourself in... It does have the air mind of like an older police force to me. When I was reading it, I kept sort of thinking I was in Heartbeat Time. And of course you're not. It's more modern. And I think it certainly isn't a gritty police sort of book where you've got a lot of blood and slash or anything like that. It's very gentle, but I enjoyed it. It didn't take me long to read. I found it very easy to actually escape into it, and I could read a couple of chapters at a time and then put it down, go back to it. So, yeah, good read.
Mm. Okay. Charles, we'll move the microphone over to you to get yourself a little bit more. Your thoughts?
Well, I was a little bit disappointed, I have to say. I was expecting a bit more of a sort of heartbeat with an edge to it, and it didn't quite flow for me. I was hoping it would be more like sort of an All Creatures Great and Small type experience, a sort of country vet, country policeman, that sort of thing. That's what I hoped it was, but it didn't quite have the wit or the sort of finesse of there was no sort of Tristan Farnham type character, James Harriet type character, and at times for me it was just a little bit laboured. But having said that, I enjoyed it. It was an easy read. It was entertaining, I would recommend it. It just didn't quite do it for me in the way that some others have done.
I have to say, Charles, I tend to veer more towards your own view. I mean, the bio of the York Press or the little publicity blurb, move over James Herriot and Gervase Finn, there's a new name on the North Yorkshire literary block. Not quite.
I
came to this really wanting to like it. Yeah. But to me, I found it was almost as though it was a good first novel. It was a reasonable attempt at getting things together, but it was almost a novel by the numbers. I had senses of Jack Warner's Dixon of Dock Green being channeled. Mm. I had a sense, obviously, of Nick Berry in Heartbeat, as you'd said. I also had every so often a sense that he was clearly had a number of political points he wanted to make about his views over the Metropolitan Police and the policing systems in general. And there was always that notion of how when he was in a domestic situation, and obviously there were a couple of issues which could have gone slightly doolally in the thing, particularly the wedding scenario, where it was almost as though he was falling betwixt and between things. I didn't quite recognise it. I recognised the venues, the locations, and I did feel at times, oh no, not another description of exactly where he actually happens to be in North Yorkshire. You know, whether it's on the A64, whether it's Malton, he puts a map in at the start, and even the map actually, it looks as though it's almost a fictional map that's actually put together.
It looks something out of Winnie the Pooh.
Well, indeed, and I think again, depending on the target audience, if it was for, shall we say, the pre-teens, I think it marvellous, absolutely. But I don't think it is for the preteens, because obviously there are a lot of themes that he addresses from the point of view of his romance with Anne, and heaven only knows how that's going to end. Oh, well, we do know, actually. They're living very happily together. But given the sort of challenges he'd faced with the domestics and various other things from the line. So, yeah, I mean... Jill Appleton, I mean, your views on that. I mean, and I appreciate that this man is going to grace us with his presence the fabulous Middlesbrough Lit Fest. So, you know, we appreciate that. And I think that's one of the reasons why maybe my expectations were a bit too high.
Well, we've had a lot of people borrowing his book in the library, and there's been many coming back wanting other copies of his other books and saying, oh, how much they enjoyed it. So I was really excited about reading this one, but I was a little bit... disappointed. I don't know. I think I was expecting a bit more action, but I mean, it is the Yorkshire Dales, and it's true. These are true stories. It's not Heartbeat, is it? Where they're slightly exaggerated.
I was too, but for me, what was a little bit disappointing about it is it was all a bit sort of structured. There was one story, then another story, then another story, and it didn't sort of flow into a sort of. It just didn't seem to have a flow to it.
In fact, exactly on that point, Charles, I did feel that. It was rather like a series of tales which could have been very nicely put into a magazine like The People's Friend, or a nice sort of easygoing Scottish magazine, and then suddenly collated together.
I think you're all a bit harsh. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good read. I wasn't looking for anything, any masterpiece. And I liked the characters in it. I liked Algy. I liked Walt. I liked his girlfriend and the bit of romance in it. So everybody out there, whatever they say, go and get it because it's a good read.
That's true. It is actually worth getting it to read it, even to take a view on it. For me, it was just a little bit laboured. It didn't quite flow. That was my impression of it.
So an interesting thing.
But I did enjoy it. Yeah. It's not a bad read.
It'll be interesting to find out when we actually speak to Mike directly in terms of has the series been optioned? Because I did feel that it was written partly, and maybe this is just the sceptic in me coming out, but there did seem to be a notion of, oh, this is going to work very well because it's going to tap into the Heartbeat audience, and it's a Heartbeat for modern times. That was something that, again, I found interesting insofar as I mean, I'm not familiar. In fact, obviously, Charles, in essence, you're probably aware with the legal aspects from this, but it didn't seem to resonate with what I would define as contemporary policing in the same ways as perhaps, maybe it does. Maybe it does actually still exist, and you get policemen when the floods are actually... I mean, his flood descriptions, I thought, were fascinating.
That was a good bit. That was perhaps the best bit, and perhaps my favourite bit.
Yeah.
That had a real touch of reality about it, that bit.
I could see his TV series out of it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Or possibly a radio series, in which case, obviously, we are available at Southside Broadcasting to pick up the options
available. You've got the accent, Alex.
Hey, lad. I don't know. It was a really interesting one from the point of view of doing the reading, because clearly I've never actually met Mike as yet, and who knows, he might talk very terribly, terribly posh in various ways. He might have all sorts of other areas, but interesting to work through that. As we said, the little flyer, policing rural Yorkshire is a far cry from Mike's old job, hunting down drug gangs and knife crime in central London. Settled back in his native Yorkshire, the former metropolitan policeman finds that life as a rural beat bobby is no picnic. Presumably there will be sequels to this. Of course, he's the author of Now Then Lad, which was another line from that. And as we say, he now lives in a small village in the shadow of the North Yorkshire Moors. It's time, actually, for scores, really. And Jill Price.
Start with me, because I'm going to be the nicest, I'm sure, from listening to the rest of you. I give it an 8.
An 8. Charles?
I'd give it a 6 if we're talking out of 10, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to go Jill Appleton lad and go a 7.
Oh, well, I'm going to stick to my usual scoring, 6.
So room for improvement, Mike. No, I mean, actually, to be fair, the fact that it is actually moving perhaps suggests that, you know, as critics, we simply have no taste of popular culture, basically.
We could be.
It's just working through that. Let's move on to the Literary Festival, Jill. That obviously is happening. It's going to be something where we're clearly supporting actively, the 19th of June through to the 30th of July, 2010. And we spoke about Mike Pannett, of course. Mike can, Mike is performing in July, I believe.
He is, yes. He's coming on the 14th of July, Macklem Library. But we've got 6 weeks packed full of events. We've got creative writing sessions, poetry writing sessions, musical events. We've got loads and loads of authors. We've got Sarah Waters, Jessica Bear, Benita Brown, just to name but a few. We've got a Victorian murder mystery night, which should be great fun. We've got the marvellous Rob Nichols that we know from Southside. He'll be coming over to Berwick Hills Library.
And do you know what? Rob Nichols is going to be coming in to do a special World Cup Fly Me to the Moon with us very shortly.
All right, that's brilliant. Yes, so there's absolutely loads of things going on. You can pick up a brochure from the your local library. You may see them floating about in various different venues across Middlesbrough. Or you can go onto our website, which is www.middlesbrough.gov.uk, and that's /litfest. And on there, it'll give you all the details of the events that are going on, and you can also download a brochure.
And in terms of locations, you'll probably find the brochures cropping up in places as far-flung as Lincoln and possibly even the Vista Del Mar restaurant in Saltburn.
Brilliant.
I think that's a possibility as well. And maybe Charles Arthur, your office will be carrying a couple of these.
Why not?
I mean, some of the treats are there because clearly some of these guys who are performing have also performed with us at Southside Broadcasting and indeed at Middlesbrough Literary Festival. We mentioned, obviously, Rob Nichols, Stephen Machat, fascinating individual, Gods, Gangsters and Honour. If you want to find out everything about Electric Light Orchestra, Michael Jackson, and Peter Gabriel and various other folk he and his father were responsible from. Basically, Charles has the legal team Machat and Machat. It was their duty to effectively deal with all the rights issues and various other things. Some really fascinating tales of contractual negotiations, including what happened in the Machat offices when Michael Jackson's chimp Bubbles was let loose. suffice it to say, it involves faecal matter, but I shan't go any further.
Oh, no.
I think you're Dalek would have come to the fore there, Charles. It's definitely doing that. Graham Harper, of course, is joining us as well, together with Michelle Munro, the author, of course, of a biographer of her father's classic, the tale of her father, Matt Munro, The Singer's Singer, which is that going to be our next book of the month?
It isn't. It's the one after.
So we're working through
it. Next month is Marina Fiorati, who we've read a couple of her books already, and they're always very good.
You say Ferrati, I say Ferrato.
Sorry, yes. And she'll be at Martin Library on the 26th of July.
And Marina, again, lots to live up to, because I think, as far as I can recall, she was the winner of our unofficial Southside 2009 Book of the Month Association with Middlesbrough Literary Festival. So two classics so far. Came very close to the last one, in fact, that Charles was working with, of course, the Boy in the Striped Pyjamas.
Yeah.
And the Life of Matt with John Boyne's scenario. If you don't recognise the names, I guarantee some of the things that these characters have been in. We mentioned Ricky Ash, Rob Nichols, Sarah Waters, of course, responsible for Tipping the Velvet. And can I also put in a plug for Tim Moulton, 101 Things You Thought You Knew About the Titanic But Didn't. Fascinating insight, really fascinating. And he effectively had an audience of probably just under 100 at the Lincoln Book Festival, and he sort of held them in the palm of his hand. I was really quite blown away by the sort of lines there, including the fascinating facts that the captain of the Titanic had actually had four near misses in the 2 years he'd actually had a captain's license.
Oh, dear.
So maybe.
I mean, not luck ran out.
Well, I was going to say, Charles, if you'd actually been on the inquiry panel, I thought, maybe there's something here in terms of the suggestion in terms of where we're going. His line was, because of course it was unsinkable, you know, they could have gone through that. Ironically, if they hadn't tried to miss it, the Titanic, I'm not giving too much away here, if they hadn't tried to miss the iceberg and just ploughed straight through it, it probably would have survived. But it was because they actually said, oh, let's move, scraped along the hull, and there we have it. You know, still, at least James Cameron got a movie out of it, as indeed did various other things as well. So lots of fantastic things there. Also, a little plug for Lana Citron. who we've done a fine piece with, and an Irish actress who was offering to sell kisses in Lincoln. I don't know if she's offering the same deal at Teesside, but, you know, it's, as I say, the things a jobbing actress has to do. She's fine from that. You can, of course, follow the Literary Festival on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes,
because that's all sorted through from that point. Maybe follow Southside Broadcasting on Twitter, really, which is all good. You can even do that line, which is, I like, so which I think is very nice, if not a bit pathetic in times, really, because there's always that question, oh, I like it, oh, I don't like this. And it's been fantastic as ever. Charles, have you enjoyed your second Book of the Month contribution?
I certainly have. I do enjoy the opportunity to actually, you know, be not forced but encouraged to read a decent book, and I think it's a good thing to do, and yes, I have enjoyed it.
Fantastic stuff. Well, I know you're going to be back with us in a few minutes to just sort of find out a few other sort of items, but that wraps up the Book of the Month for May 2010. June 2010, just around the corner. Do you know what, Jill? We forgot to mention who actually launches the festival a musical treat almost unparalleled in musical history. It's a terrific triumvirate.
Well, we've got lots of things happening on the launch, which is on Saturday the 19th of June. If you come along to Centre Square in Middlesbrough at 12 o'clock, you will find there we have the award-winning author Richard Millward, who will be joining us. We have the fabulous Tallulah Rendell, who will be playing there, and also Andy Broderick and Dan Pettit, who I think will be featuring on Southside very shortly. And we've got some poetry readings and short stories as well, so it should be a fabulous afternoon.
As you said, Dan Pettit, Andy Broderick, fine chap, actually started off busking to pay his university fees. And now he's a genius working in the Saltburn Arts Centre. And Tallulah Rendell, a good friend of Southside, she's returned from a fantastic tour of Russia, in fact, and a variety of other places. She's working on a second album, the first album, Libellus. And if you're thinking, hang on, Literary Festival, where does singing and dancing come into it? Well, Libellus, of course, based on the writings of Iris Murdoch. So fantastic stuff there. And I know it'll be an absolute joy unparalleled from that point of view, as we've said. Actually, there was one other last thing before we head off on the thing today, because I'm thinking of a challenge for both Jill Prowse and Charles Arthur, and possibly I'll take this on board myself, really, but I noticed an open mic night, Jill.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Sound good.
I saw Friday the 30th of July, open mic event. Participants in today's workshop will be performing their work, but it's also your opportunity to get up on the mic and read a poem, story, or perform a song.
Well, it won't be a song, that's for certain.
Now, you know, Jill, I know, has spoken at length about her desire to sort of move into voiceover work and various other things. So, Charles,
I was thrown out of the choir at school for, I'm simply for thinking out of tune.
Perhaps a dramatic reconstruction of some of your fantastic Charles Arthur ads.
I could do that.
I just raised that, Jill.
Yeah, well, the three of you could put on a little performance, I'm sure, with your acting skills, Alex.
Maybe.
Exactly. It's a possibility. What a way to probably begin to round off the festival from that point of view.
What a shame I won't be on holiday. But
I might be now, actually, Charles.
To Jill Prowse, Charles Arthur, and Jill Atherton, many thanks indeed. Keep on keeping on, and we'll see you again very soon.
Thank you.
Serving the James Cook University Hospital, Middlesbrough, and beyond. This is Southside.